Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Being the day of our Thanksgiving breakfast, I generally like to bring a message along the lines of Thanksgiving. And this isn't exactly that, but as I was thinking during the week on the things that we have to be thankful for, this is what came to my mind. And what I want to talk to you about are those that are helpers in the ministry. And as was expressed during the breakfast there during the testimony time, one of the things I noticed is that people's thankfulness for our fellow saints. And I am certainly, that would be, other than my salvation and family, that would be at the top of the list. Our faithful saints over the years. I've been pastoring here now for 37 years. And it's not always been the same group, but there's always been those that were here and faithful to the work and faithful to help in the work. And I think about the Apostle Paul and how he labored and he traveled from city to city and he preached and he established churches. And we find that in the book of Acts, that toward the end of the book of Acts, Paul is imprisoned. Seems that he was imprisoned and then released and then put back under house arrest. And he wrote several epistles from there. One of those is the book of Philippians. And when I read these verses, it always jumps out at me how few people there were after all of those years of ministering that Paul could really rely on. He says to the church at Philippi in Philippians 2:19, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man," now notice this, "I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." That's sad, isn't it? After all that time of ministering, that Paul had no man that he could send other than these two men that he mentions in the passage. He says in verse 22, "But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send unto you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that you had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me." So we see that Paul had these two men, Timothy and Epaphroditus, that he wanted to send over there to Philippi to carry on the work that had begun. In the case of Timothy, he encourages them to receive him. And when he talks about Epaphroditus, he says there in verse 30, "Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death." When I read that, I think about Acts chapter 20. Go back to Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, Paul said in verse 24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." In two instances there, both men, Paul and this man Epaphroditus, he says, "Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life." In other words, the work of the ministry was more important to him than life itself. as it was with Paul. He said, but I counted myself, but none of these things move me, neither count I life dear unto myself. Paul finishing his ministry was more important to him than living, than life itself. And yet, through all of that, Paul never had a large following. He never had large numbers. And when he writes this letter to the church at Philippi, as he states there, there were two men that he could count on, two men that were helpers. And what I want to talk to you about this morning are the helpers in the ministry. And the fact that there is a great work that we're involved in. And we should never take it lightly. We should take it seriously and understand the gravity of it and understand the need for it. And that ministry is making a clear presentation on a consistent basis of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Because so much of the religious world today confuses the issue when it comes to salvation. And our ministry is to make sure that people know, number one, how to be saved. And once they're saved, it is God's will, he says, that they come to the knowledge of the truth. There are multitudes of Christians today, people that are saved, that end up back in bondage because they're being taught that there are certain things that they need to do to gain the acceptance of God or the favor of God and so forth, and that ends up in bondage. Anytime you're in a system that requires you to do something in your flesh to reap a benefit from God, that's bondage. Now, I know that in a ministry, most of the time, people think about the preacher and he gets most of the glory and that kind of thing. But no ministry such as a local church or really any other kind of ministry can exist without the assistance of laborers and fellow laborers in the Lord. I always think about back in Exodus. Go back to Exodus chapter 17. I think Mark mentioned this a couple of weeks ago in Sunday school. And I think he couldn't remember the name of the other guy that was holding the arm, and I couldn't either, but we should have remembered that. I mean, we've all heard of Ben Hur, hadn't we? Acts 17, in verse 8, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow, I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the mount, top of the hill, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Now that's a beautiful picture if you think about it, because here Moses is holding up this rod, and it's imperative that he do so because when the rod is lowered, Israel is losing. But when he holds it up, they prevail, the Bible says. When Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. And so he sat down on a rock, not on a recliner, not on a couch, not on a church pew, but on a rock. And his hands became weary. If you don't think that's hard, you take any kind of rod, even a light something, and hold it over your head for just a few minutes and see how long you can do it. Your arms become weary in a hurry. And so these two men, Aaron and Hur, they stayed up his hands. Now I want to ask you, was not their job every bit as important as Moses himself? Yes, it was. Because without them, he would not have been able to sustain and hold up that rod, and Israel would have been defeated. That is a beautiful picture of those that are helpers in Christ. You see, there's this saying years ago I heard, kind of a cliche saying. It's not ability that counts, it's availability. I mean, it didn't take a lot of ability to hold up somebody's hand on one side. But yet, they were of the utmost importance. The Apostle Paul, even though he was educated in the religion of the Jews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, we find that that is not what he depended on to fulfill the ministry he had received. As a matter of fact, he said he counted all of that but dung that he may win Christ. Now, there are several things about these helpers that we need to look at. Look in Philippians, back in Philippians again, in Philippians chapter 2. What is it that God desires of us as helpers? And I want to say I am extremely thankful for every person that attends Grace Bible Church. And everybody helps in some way. You say, well, I don't really do that much. I can say to you with all certainty, and I'm sincere when I say this, your attendance in the services here is extremely important. Say, well, why? Well, it may not be tremendously important to you, but it is to the preacher, and it's also important to those around us. Because people are encouraged when they see other people that believe the truth and stand for it. And so if you attend, that's a great help. That's a great benefit to me and to the assembly here. And I know, you know that I never harp on people attending church. People do what they want to about attending church. Those that want to be here are here. Those that don't want to be here, they're not here. And that's between them and the Lord, what they do with that. But that's just the way it is. Some choose not to attend. Some choose not to be part of this assembly. If everybody that believed the grace message, it says they do, in Chattanooga was here, this church would be full every Sunday morning. But you see, you can't focus. I mean, Paul didn't go down through here and list all the people that had forsaken him. What he's pointing out are the two people he was thankful for. So instead of focusing on those that won't support the work and won't be part of it and getting all upset about that, just keep focused on the task at hand and be thankful for those that do. And I want you to know that I am thankful for every person that helps in any capacity. It might be your attendance. It might be your giving. It might be your prayers. It might be your help when there are needs that come up. But whatever it is, I am thankful for those that are helpers in the ministry, because the ministry would not survive if it was dependent upon me and me alone. I'm thankful for those that teach, Vince and Mark and over the years Brother Doug and different ones in the assembly here that have taught. I'm thankful for that. But I'm also thankful for those that come and listen, because there would be no value in teaching if there wasn't somebody to hear it. So Paul, in this passage, there are several things that kind of jump out at me about these helpers, these men who were faithful. He says, first of all, there in verse... by the way, before we read there in Philippians, hold on there and go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19, Paul writing to the church there says, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me, and Silvanus, and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea." I always like reading that verse because my dad's name was Silvanus. I don't know why in the world they named him that, other than maybe they had something against him when he was born. He was the 13th child and the youngest. His daddy was a holiness preacher. And I guess they had run out of names. One of his brothers was named Hosea. Most all of them were Bible names, but his name was Silvanus. And it wasn't a middle name, it was just one name, and he hated it. He thought many times about going and having his name changed. And so my mother and everybody else just called him Atwood. They never heard anybody call him by his first name. He's just always known as Atwood. But Silvanus is a Bible name. And Paul says that Silvanus and Timotheus was there preaching. He says, "For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the spirits in our hearts. Moreover," now notice what he says, "moreover I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth, not that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand." You see, it is not the preacher's responsibility to have dominion over people. He is a leader, he is a teacher, he's an overseer. But Paul said to this church there, "We don't have dominion over your faith, but are hopefully helpers of your joy." And you know, I think one of the greatest, and I noticed this morning in the testimonies, some of the greatest expression of joy comes when people begin to talk about the blessing of other people and the ministry and the local church. So Paul, back there in Philippians chapter 2, he says, "I trust in," verse 19, "I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." So what we see is that in order to be a helper of the ministry, they had to be in agreement with the ministry that had been committed to the Apostle Paul. I mean, you remember back there in Galatians, Peter and Paul had somewhat of a conflict. And they finally shook hands and agreed that Paul was to preach the gospel of the uncircumcision, Peter the gospel of the circumcision. Well, what Paul needed were those that were like-minded that would care for the state of those in the churches that he had established. And you know, that's very needful today. That's why you don't find many grace churches that are real big, is because there are very few people in religion today that are like-minded with the Apostle Paul. What am I talking about? Well, just think about the doctrine you find in Romans through Philemon. Think about the teaching of the one baptism, one Lord, one faith. Think about the teaching and the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Think about all of these things that we find through the Apostle Paul, and people, they may acknowledge some of those things, but there are very few churches that put the emphasis on the doctrine, the mystery committed to Paul. If you look over in Philippians chapter 3, in verse 15, he said, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. For if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." Now notice, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example." In other words, you find those that are following Paul, and you identify with them, and you stand for that truth committed to us through the Apostle Paul in Romans through Philemon. That's what we talk about when we talk about rightly dividing the word of truth, distinguishing mystery truth from the kingdom doctrine that was preached by the 12. Followers. Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. You see, they may have, he said, you might have all kind of teachers, but it was Paul who delivered unto them the gospel of their salvation. Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says there in verse 1, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain in this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, He was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Now notice, and last of all, He was seen of me, also as of one born out of due time. So we find that the apostle Paul, he saved there in Acts chapter 9. He says in Acts 20 that he was commissioned to preach the gospel of the grace of God. He says in Ephesians chapter 3, he was given the dispensation, that is the dispensing of this grace. He was given the dispensation of the grace of God. And he said to the Ephesians, it was given to me to you-ward. You see, before the salvation of the apostle Paul, salvation was of the Jew. Salvation was to come through that nation. But when they rejected and they fell, God raised up another apostle, the apostle of the Gentiles, and gave Paul this great and glorious message of the gospel. And thus Paul said, you might have many instructors in Christ, but I have begotten you through the gospel, talking about their spiritual renewal that came through believing the truth of the gospel. What do we need today? People that are like-minded with the Apostle Paul. Be followers of me, he says. And that's what he drives home over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 again. 1 Corinthians 11 in verse 1. Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now, that's a very important verse because we don't follow Christ. We don't follow Paul in his earthly ministry. I mean, when Paul started out his ministry, where did he go first? To the synagogue. He went to the Jew first. Well, we don't do that today, but we follow the doctrine of the Apostle Paul, just like Paul didn't follow the Christ in his earthly ministry. Paul followed Christ according to the revelation given unto him. He calls it Romans 16, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And so, as helpers in the ministry, we need those who are like-minded, fellow soldiers, fellow laborers, followers of the Apostle Paul. Those who are like-minded. Look in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. In Romans chapter 15. Look in verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let everyone please his neighbor for his good edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus,
that you may be with one mind and one that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ." You see, to be like-minded with the Apostle Paul is, number one, to preach the same gospel that Paul preached. Number two, it's to practice in our life the doctrine given to us through the Apostle Paul, understanding that we cannot follow that kingdom doctrine given to the 12. So there is the teaching of the same doctrine, preaching the same gospel, keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And as a local assembly, it doesn't mean that you're not going to have differences of opinion on some things, but the foundational truths, the gospel, the Word of God, the things that are of most importance, we're to be in unity and we're to strive together for the faith of the gospel. Go back to Philippians again. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul says there in verse 27, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." You see, folks, it's not about numbers. There are people listening to us this morning over the internet. Some meet together as groups. I'm sure those groups would love to have a pastor or a teacher there on a regular basis, but they do not. And so we're blessed to have the opportunity to broadcast this over the internet, and they're an extension of this ministry. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Don't quit. It's more important to be right than it is to be accepted. It's more important to stand for the truth than it is to be popular or to be large in number. There are others out there listening. There's just maybe a couple, maybe just an individual, that they listen because they appreciate the teaching of the Word of God right divided. And the internet, as terrible as it is in some ways, is a great blessing because there are so many avenues there of ministry and so many avenues where people can hear the Word of God taught rightly divided and hear the gospel of the grace of God. And I know, you know, we sit here in this church and we have a wonderful facility here and people to meet with and people to fellowship with. And we had our Thanksgiving breakfast this morning and the fellowship was tremendous. And this past week we had a death in the church here and people respond and bring food. Do all these things as a church that would not get done. But we should never feel sorry for ourselves because there are people out there that would just almost anything to have the opportunity to attend a local church that preaches the truth. But they don't have it. Nevertheless, as the Apostle Paul said, stand fast. Because whether we're here or in Texas or in Ohio or in Kansas or Florida, wherever it might be, up in New Jersey, wherever it might be, we may not see folk, we might not see each other maybe once a year or some, not that often. But do you realize that when we preach the same gospel and proclaim the same message it was given to and through the Apostle Paul, that we are striving together for the faith of the gospel? I think about the other preachers that preach the grace of God, and they're this morning preaching and they're proclaiming the truth. And we are striving together. The whole body of Christ is working together to get this message out so that people might see the truth and be saved. And it's all to be done for Christ's sake.
And we should count it a blessing, not a hindrance, not a burden. We should count it a blessing to be part of a ministry that is doing that which God instructs us to do. It's a wonderful thing to have people who are helpers in the ministry. Look there in Philippians chapter 2 again. Paul said, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. So there needs to be a like-mindedness with the Apostle Paul in order to carry out this ministry. And the reason he says that he has no man, notice what he says here in verse 21. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. You see, it takes some sacrifice. It takes some giving up of self to do the work of the ministry, to be a part of a fellowship. I mean, you make an effort to get up and come here on Sunday morning. It don't just happen. I mean, it's not like, you know, you play the jack in the box and you pop out of bed and are dressed and in the car and ready to come to church. People make an effort. And I appreciate that because they don't have to do that. But there are others that there are other things in their life that are far more important to them than a local ministry. All seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. What a statement. All seek their own. Now I know we all fall into that at times. We all have our tendency to want to do what's best for us. But that's not really what Paul is talking about. As a matter of fact, when we get over to chapter 3 where we were reading a moment ago, when Paul is talking about those that seek their own, he's talking about some ministers. In other words, he's talking about he didn't have anybody to send there. Why was that? Well, look over there in chapter 3 again, in verse 17. Brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. They mind earthly things. Paul says that there are those that preach and teach the gospel for their belly's sake, for self-gain. Matter of fact, if you hold on here and just flip over to Titus chapter 1, and you can read about this in several places, Romans chapter 16, 1 Timothy chapter 6, but in Titus chapter 1, in verse 10, Paul said, there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. You see, the reason that Paul didn't have anybody to send there other than Timothy and Epaphroditus was because, he says, they all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Paul said, I didn't count my life dear to myself so that I might finish my course with joy. Back there in Philippians chapter 3, verse 18, he says, many walk, of whom I've told you often, now tell you even weeping, they're enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things, for our conversation is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able, even to subdue all things unto himself. You see, when people seek their own, and it's always about them, very little time is ever given to the work of the ministry. And then in verse 22 there in Philippians chapter 2, Paul says, for you know the proof of him that is a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Served. That word served indicates servitude, being a servant. Look in Titus chapter 1. In Titus chapter 1. In Titus chapter 1, Paul's there in verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Paul never demanded respect for people. As a matter of fact, he said they were as an offscouring of the world. He said, we are fools for Christ's sake. Paul was not in it for the money. He was not doing what he did for self-gain, for self-glory. He was doing it because he said he had received a dispensation of the gospel. He said, if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I still have the responsibility to do that which God has instructed me to do. And I think about, when you look in the Bible, the illustrations of servants. A servant is purchased. The Bible says we are bought with a price. Therefore, we're not our own. We're to glorify God in our body and in our spirit. A servant is to be obedient unto his own masters, according to Ephesians chapter 6. A servant, he's been purchased, he's obedient, he's not his own. And he's to do that which pleases his master. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're ambassadors for Christ. When an ambassador is sent forth, he does not go forth to state his opinions and his doctrine and his beliefs. He's there to represent the one that sent him. Well, Paul says we are ambassadors for Christ. And our ambassadorship comes through the ministry and the message given to the Apostle Paul. He said, be ye followers of me. Be not there. He told Timothy, be not therefore thou ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Don't ever apologize for believing in the ministry given to and through the Apostle Paul. Don't be ashamed of that. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, of His death and burial and resurrection. Don't be ashamed of His apostle. And don't be ashamed of the truth of the Word of God. It is God's will that all men be saved, come to the knowledge of the truth. And we've been tasked with that responsibility of preaching the truth and making it known to all men. So what we see in these helpers, number one, they need to be like-minded. Like-minded with the Apostle Paul, following the doctrine given unto him. They're not to seek their own, but the good of others. We're to be servants and working and doing what we do for Christ's sake. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But the next verse says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. There is nothing in the world more important than the ministry of preaching and teaching the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God. You say, oh, I would differ with that. Well, how could there be when that is the very message that can transform a person from death unto life in the snap of a finger, in a heartbeat, by simply believing that and receiving and believing that Christ died on that cross for your sins and trusting in what He did. In that very instant, a person is gifted with eternal life, sealed unto the day of redemption, made one in Christ, accepted in the blood. And every one of us can have a part in that ministry. Oh, you might not ever be able to stand before a crowd and give a Bible study. Not everybody can do that. I was talking about this morning. One of the greatest fears people have is public speaking. Some people, they just can't handle it. I remember when we did the tribute here for Brother Moore, I asked some of the men that he had been a part of in their lives, his ministry been a part of, to give a word of testimony or a word about what Brother Moore had meant to them. One of these fellows was a fighter pilot. And I'd had many conversations with him, visited with him in their home, stayed with him, and he could carry on a conversation about the Word of God with anybody. And when he got up to speak that night, I didn't think he was going to make it. He had the most difficult time, and I was absolutely astonished. And afterwards, he said, "I just made a mess of that." He said, "I have never." He said, "They wanted me to teach flight instruction." And he said, "I was never able to do it simply because of stage fright." And I said, "You did just fine. Don't worry about it." Not everybody can stand up and teach Bible studies. Not everybody can do what other people do. But you can do what you can do for Christ's sake. And I want to say to you that of all the things that I'm thankful for, as I said a moment ago, second only to my salvation and my family, I'm thankful for those over the years that have stood faithful to the Word of God, to the truth of God's Word. Because so many times I get a lot of credit for that and for doing this and doing that. But the credit goes to those that have stood and been helpers. Because I guarantee you, there was times in the very beginning when my arms got tired early. And I was ready to quit. I was ready to sit down on that rock. But there was always someone that came along with a word of encouragement, with a word of help, or somebody to step up and help to do the work. And I will be eternally thankful and grateful for that. And I thank God for every one of you that are in this assembly here. I thank God for every one of those that listen over the internet. That's a great blessing in itself. Just seeing the people that sign on there and knowing that they're part of the ministry. We need to be, Paul said, in everything give thanks. And it starts with our salvation. It starts with our understanding and knowledge of the Word of God rightly divided. And it extends to the brothers and sisters that we have in Christ. And not only should we be thankful for one another, we ought to let people know. Make it known to them how thankful you are for their love for this Word and for their love for this ministry. Because, folks, it is important. The people that have been saved, the people that have come to the knowledge of the truth. Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, "You're my crown and my joy." Preach the Word, be it in season, out of season. And that's what our ministry is. I thank you for your help through the years. And I thank you for your part in this ministry. And I pray as we go forward, there'll be more laborers and more that will come. But regardless of that, folks, we'll never change the message because it's the truth of God's Word. Would you stand me for prayer? Thank you.